And welcome, friends, to this, the Friday morning edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in beautiful Baltimore, Maryland. Great to have you with us on this Friday edition of our broadcast, friends. My name is Pastor John Love. Joining me in the studio today, Pastor Steve Schibelli. We're going to be your hosts for today's Grace Hour broadcast. And our theme, together with you, our listeners, is God created us in His image, male and female. This, of course, is the biblical foundation of gender. And this is a good subject, Pastor Schibelli, because this is a subject that we're hearing an awful lot about today in our society, because there's so much confusion around what seems to be something that's pretty clear in the Bible. He created them male and female.
I mean, who's the author of confusion?
Yeah, good point.
You know, I mean, right away, let's begin with that. If I can disrupt the definition of male and female, I can kind of try to mix them together and whatnot, then I can send a lot of confusion, because if he goes after that, remember, he attacked in Isaiah 14, he attacked the Father. I will be like the Most High. Then in we see this in Matthew chapter 4, he attacked the Son, okay? And if you're the Son of God, if you're the Son of God. So obviously he's going to attack the Holy Spirit. He attacked the Father and he attacked the Son, trying to bring confusion. Then he's going to attack the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit not only dwells in the church, but dwells in us personally. So we see the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the church and in individuals, and we see that the attack is coming. And what a very powerful attack that he's making against the design of man and woman, God's intentional design of man and woman, equality and value, distinction and role, a reflection of God's nature in the male and the female. And so the biblical foundation that we're going to look at, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. I want to read those verses. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Okay, it says this. And God said, let us, I like how it says us. There's right away we can come in with the Father, Son, and Spirit. It's plural. Let us make man in his own, in our own image. After our likeness. So it's in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the flesh, I'm sorry, over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created, verse 27, man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. I like how it says, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. So we see that man and women were made in the image of God, okay? Made in the image of God. And this is so key. So God brings in right away in Genesis chapter 1, all right? Right away, he brings in the whole idea of the man and the woman. And that is really so key and such a biblical foundation, okay? Let us make man in our image. Okay, let's make man in our image and let them have dominion. And so then later on you can see him creating the woman from the man and how key that is. So what ends up happening today is because he's the author of confusion, he attacks the Father, Isaiah 14. He attacks the Son, Matthew chapter 4. He's going to bring an attack and warfare against the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit being in the church and in every individual person who's born again or born of the Spirit. And so if I can cause confusion in regards to who a man is and who a woman is and whatnot, then I can, with that confusion, bring in all kinds of other possibilities. And we know there are so many strange ideas out there today, Pastor Love, so many strange and alien ideas from the Scriptures. And it's very important for us to go to the Scriptures as a foundational basis for what we believe.
Boy, you said it and said it so well. You know, God created humanity with two complementary counterparts, male and female. Mm-hmm. And yet what we see in our culture and what we see happening in the world today is that people are getting further and further away from the designer himself.
Yes.
And the further away we get from the designer, the further away the culture seeks to move away from him, and that creates all kinds of, as you mentioned at the outset, confusion. Right. That's where the confusion comes from.
Yes.
I mean, if there's so many questions out there among people about transgenderism and what gender am I, and I feel so dissatisfied in the person who I am, so I want to be somebody else. I feel like I'm somebody else. With all of that that's being said and all of that that's going on, why don't we just go back to the one who designed us? And the closer we get to the designer, the more understanding we'll have of what he intended for his creation. It's kind of like when you have a problem with a product that you purchase. In other words, you have a problem with your car. Well, even though people never do it, the best thing to do is to break open that car owner's manual. I mean, very few people do it, but really a lot of the problems that your car has can be answered in the car owner's manual.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of the problems that we have in society, in our culture, in our world today can be answered if we'll just turn to the one who made us, created us, and designed us the way we're supposed to be.
But what if Satan initiates to man and wants man to think that he's the designer of everything, that he's the center of the universe and the center of the world? And so because of satanic initiation and initiating constantly that there is no God at all, so then man is looking to himself for his foundation, his existence, and his future. And really, that's the sad thing, what has become of that. And really, such a satanic deception. And because people don't see the enemy, they don't see the devil and demons, like visibly per se, they tend to even doubt if that's what's even going on, if that even exists at all. And so without thinking about the enemy, you're looking at this from a natural viewpoint. And from a natural viewpoint, you can come up with all kinds of conclusions. But really, Satan is the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 3:14 and 4:4. He's the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2:2. He's the prince of darkness. And you see that in John 14:15 and 16. Prince of this world when he comes. So, who wants to distort? Who's the person that's going to distort the image of God, or the male and the female, is going to be the enemy himself. Mm-hmm. And using the world system to do it.
Sure.
See, because he's the god of this world, and it's the world that's kind of trying to go in that direction and portray these things that are contrary to who God is. And but he's the god of this world. So he's the one right behind it all. But if people don't see that, you know, they think that they're coming up with their own human conclusions only.
Yeah. I mean, it's so clear, and it's really quite simple that God created them male and female. And you know, the Bible doesn't say a lot about it. It just simply makes that as a statement.
Yeah.
It reiterates it in the New Testament that, you know, a man and a woman are to be united together in marriage. So someone could argue this point. Well, the Bible doesn't say a lot about it. It doesn't address the issues of, you know, designating which gender I am or transgender. Well, you know, I can't imagine in a delivery room in a hospital when a child is born and the parent says, is it a boy or a girl? And the doctor says, well, not really sure. I mean, it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Very obvious, yeah.
I mean, it's pretty clear. There's no doubt. There's no debate. You either are born with a child that's a female or a male.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so as you said, this wasn't started by God. God didn't leave that door open for all of this confusion and all of these questions and concern. And again, the further and further away our culture gets from God, the more confusion there's going to be. There are more questions that are going to be left unanswered. There are going to be more feelings that begin to overwhelm and dominate our proper thinking. But if we can just kind of, well, like that old radio show was called, if we could get back to the Bible, I think things could be straightened out pretty quickly.
That's the problem. Get back to the Bible. I mean, really, it's like the furthest thing from many people's minds. Even Christians today, sad to say, even people that are born again, like how much time do they ever spend in God's Word and thinking about God's Word? Is the Word of God being preached in churches today? Or is it just politics, entertainment, music, prayer, a number of things? Some of them okay in their right balance, but churches become wordless. It's a wordless Christianity. And Jesus said right away, we see from the right from the get-go, John 1:1, in the beginning, which was the eternal beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I like how it says in the Greek language, the Word absolutely is God. The Word is absolutely is God. So we go to the Word of God, and we'll find out what the definition that God has given to male and female, the distinction there. So obviously, it's people just don't believe the Bible, you know? It's really as simple as that. And in their arrogance and in their so-called evolutionary thinking and their progression, they have seen themselves as God. Hey, we can put a person on the moon, a person on Mars, or whatever. We can go to the depths of the sea, you know, and whatnot. And they have actually usurped the authority of God. That's what's happening.
I keep going back to that thought when a child is born, and maybe you were in the delivery room when your children were born. I know I was. And imagine, you know, you want to know, is it a boy or is it a girl? Imagine if the doctor responded to us when we asked that question and said, well, we don't know. We'll have to wait and see. It's going to be up to them. It will be their choice.
Oh, yeah, sure.
No, it's not going to be their choice. Your sex is determined at birth, right?
Right.
Even in the womb, it's already determined based upon the chromosomes you possess.
Yeah, and that's how simple it is.
It is simple.
Like, my goodness, what happens? People get so complicated because they end up living in their own mental illness of their own thinking. And then that is really supported and nurtured by the enemy himself, you know. And so people come up with all kinds of ideas, you know. Next, I think you've even had some people saying that I'm not really a human. I'm, you know, this kind of an animal or that kind of an animal. Sometimes I would agree that they do have animal tendencies. Some people do have animal tendencies, you know. But really, can you think about it? Can you imagine, you know, just imagine, you know, what's going on today? And it's all so satanic.
Yeah.
And this is the problem, is we don't see it, or we should see it as being an initiation from darkness. But if we don't, then we're coming up with all kinds of human ideas and trying to define it through some human ability, and it can't be done.
Yeah. I mean, this whole business of gender dysphoria, and we know that many are struggling today to understand who they are and who they're designed to be. And again, you know, the further away you go from God, the less answers you're really going to find.
Yeah.
But you'll find perhaps some justification for why you feel the way you think you need to be identified. But behind all of this, Pastor Schiavelli, don't you think that this is really an issue about identity?
Yes.
And isn't the question that is really being asked, who am I?
Yes.
And you know, for those that are struggling and asking that question, well, you know, the Bible answers it.
Mm-hmm.
You think of how often we hear of biblical characters asking that question. Moses asked that question, right? Gideon asked that question. There are so many people in the scriptures that ask that question. It's the struggle for one's identity. I mean, you pointed out earlier when Jesus was being tempted by the devil, I honestly believe that the devil was attempting to lead Jesus into an identity crisis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you are, in other words, he would love to say, even to the believer today, that your identity is kind of up in the air. It's questionable. It's an iffy kind of thing. Because even when we fail, isn't it true? When we fail, when we sin, what does he do? He comes along and he whispers and said, you know, if you really were a Christian, would you have done that?
Yes.
And his intention, again, is designed to lead the believer into an identity crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Someone has, I think, once best described the definition for that word identity. It's a conscious sense of our individual uniqueness.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to arrive at that understanding without knowing who God is?
You cannot, because if we're made in the image of God, and we are, then without God, who never understands your identity.
Yeah.
And even going a step further, rather than just talking only about, and we're going to have that emphasis, male and female, but do I know who I am? As a believer, as a Christian, there's a man and there's a man who has God, you know? And so really, when we take a look at it, and it's very important for a person who has been born again, has an identity in Christ, to understand who God is and to be developed and trained through the Word of God and whatnot. Otherwise, they walk around their whole lives. And maybe I read a story about Adoniram Judson, and he was pretty sure, based upon family and friends and his natural abilities, what he was going to do with his life. He did not understand that he had an identity to be a person that would be involved with missions for many, many years, you know? So this identity crisis leads to an ability crisis. It has to. Whenever there's an identity crisis, there's an ability crisis. So I don't know. Am I a man or am I a male or female? Like, okay, so after with that question, what about ability? Now what do I do? Oh, so you think you're not a male, you're a female, have a baby. Okay, you have the ability to have a baby, you know, yourself, you know. No, there's not two men getting together to produce a child. It just doesn't happen that way.
That's right. You know, it's interesting because when Moses asked God that question, who am I? He came right out and he said, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
Who am I to lead your people out of their bondage in Egypt? And what's fascinating is that God didn't answer him by saying, well, you're Moses. You grew up in Egypt.
Yeah.
And you're Moses. And you've been living out here in the desert now for 40 years. And I'm going to lead my people through the desert. And who better knows the desert than you?
Yeah.
I mean, you know how he answered him? He said, when he said, who am I? God said, I am that I am.
Yeah.
In other words, our identity will be discovered when we discover who God is. And the more we know who God is, the greater our sense of identity.
And I love how it reads in the Hebrew language and even in the Greek translation. I am, ego imai, in the Greek language, haya in the Hebrew, means I'm the eternal one. I'm the personal one. I'm omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. This is actually it doesn't say that in the language, but this is what Haya and ego imai mean. And so it's very clear. He actually said, Moses, guess what? You're talking to the eternal one who's also personal. He's also all-knowing. He has all power, okay? And he's everywhere present, okay? Now, I think that's enough to convince Moses it's time to go. Time to go to Egypt.
I love what Carol has written to us on the comments section of the Grace Hour blog here. She said, children should be taught early in life all about who God is. And we are, and yes, it's all about our identity.
Mm-hmm.
All about the strategies of the devil, his opposition to all that you are saying and teaching us today about. It's such a great point because she's right. The best thing that parents can do for their children as early an age as possible is to teach them about who God is, because that's how they will discover their identity.
And
because if you try to discover your identity outside of God, you're going to be in trouble.
Big trouble. And then they end up going to institutions, the world system, schools and whatnot, and they're the ones that are going to teach them about their identity, you know? And they have no foundation. And if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So the parents leave those things up to other people. And even the church, wait a minute, okay, and it can be a very good preaching and teaching church, biblical. But still, as a parent, I have a responsibility, first and foremost, to train up a child in the way that they should go. Okay, then the church is there. But if I'm deriving my identity from what the world has to say, you know, what man has to say who's separated from God, what the educational system says, then I'm going to have an identity crisis. And with that identity crisis comes an ability crisis. You know, there has never been, as far as I'm concerned, when people come and say, how come we don't do this and this, 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 and this, and this, and this ability? I say, well, you're dealing with it from the wrong end. We've got to teach people who they are.
That's right.
We spent in Bible school in Africa, I would always spend the first year teaching. My first course always was and always will be who God is and what God has done. I call it, the course, I call it Grace, Grace. And we have it all on a biblical syllabus. Who God is and what God has done. I spend a year doing that before I start teaching the other aspects of the Bible, Genesis, mm-hmm. you know, and Old T, New T surveys and all that. Because if people don't know who God is and what God has done, then when you talk to them about these other things, they're lost. Mm. They're lost. They're coming up with a figment of their own imagination about that. But yeah. We need to know who God is and what God has done. Mm. And this is where identity and ability come in.
Yeah. And again, you can establish that identity in children at a very young age. And that's why it's so important that parents take this responsibility to, mm-hmm. you know, bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Because the sooner they can arrive at some sense yeah. of their personal identity through a relationship with God, the more stable their lives will become. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't get your identity from God, then again, you leave yourself out there. The world's going to tell you who you are.
Yeah.
Your peers are going to tell you who you are. Your occupation or career is going to tell you who you are. I remember once Pastor Schiavelli at a chapel service with the NBA players in New York. They all came in. They all gathered together. And I asked them a question. And I asked each of them individually. I said, who are you? And every single one of them, probably because the first one started off and he said, I'm a basketball player. The second one said, I'm a basketball player. Next one said, I'm a professional basketball. They all said it. And I said, it's interesting. Once they all finished telling me who they were, I said, you all told me not who you were, but what you do.
What you do, yeah.
I said, and that doesn't amount to who you are. Playing basketball is not your identity,
right?
Because someday you will not be able to play basketball.
And then what happens to the identity?
You lose your identity? Nonsense.
Yeah. You're not. I like this statement too. I read it from Pastor Stevens. You're not what you do.
That's right.
This is the thing. But by the way, that's how it is. What's one of the first questions people will ask you when they meet you? What do you do for a living? No, I have Zoe Life. What do you mean, what do I do for a living? So you want to have me give you, I'm a carpenter, I'm a teacher, I'm a whatever it may be, a housewife, whatever it may be. And then they formulate who you are based upon what you do.
That's right.
Rather than taking it right from who you are. And what you do really is something secondary to who you are. And so right away, and by the way, wasn't the identity of Christ attacked?
Absolutely. I mean,
think about
all
it.
The time.
He was called the devil, Beelzebub, you know, a prophet, a carpenter, a good man, right? I mean, whatever. And no, you're all wrong.
Yeah.
Even the person saying a prophet or a good man. No, he's God the Son. And I like how it reads in some of the texts in the New Testament, Greek language, not Son of God, but God the Son. Sometimes it says God the Son there to make it very clear. Because you've even got cults out there that will attack the deity of Christ, you know. And so when they attack his deity, then what he says doesn't really make that much difference, you know. Because they're saying he's just a good man. He's just a good man. So then you read the words in the Bible that Jesus speaks, and you'll say that's just from a good man. And so that's what he thinks. But I also know of other good men that have been around, you know. When God has said, there's none good but God alone, you know? So yeah, I need to know who I am. And children need to be raised that way. Otherwise, they take upon themselves the image of this world and what the world wants them to be. You're gonna do this. You're gonna do this. My parents were so convinced, and I love them, but they were convinced, you're gonna go to university and become an engineer. I said, I like carpentry. I like making tables. I like making bookcases. I like making little pianos. I love carpentry. No! No, none of that. So you'll never make any money doing that, by the way. And they make a lot more than people with education do now.
Sometimes.
But I was like, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go to school. You're going to be an engineer. You know what I did the first semester in school? They paid an enormous amount of money for Western New England Engineering College for me to go to. This was in 1965. It's like 60 years ago. And they paid an enormous amount of money. I got five Fs on purpose. Every class I flunked, I said, I'm not doing the work. I'm not taking the test. Or I took it and I just wrote anything I wanted to. And they said, oh, we can see you don't want to do this, right? We can see that you really do not have any desire to go in this direction. I said, I want to go in the direction of teaching. I really believe and working with people and whatnot. So you're not what you do. You are who you are by the grace of God. 15:10 of 1 Corinthians. I am what I am by the grace of God.
Amen.
This is my identity. Yeah. And then I labor more than you all. Paul said, this is who I am, this is what I do. He didn't have it backwards. This is what I do, so you know who I am.
Yeah.
No.
And then he qualified all that he did by saying, wasn't even me. It was the grace of God in me. Beautiful. You know, when Jesus was baptized by John, and we know that the Spirit was present, Jesus was present, then God the Father spoke. And what did he say? He said, this is my Son.
Yeah.
Identity. And then right after the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness, and the devil says, okay, we'll see about that.
Yeah.
And what did he do? He challenged what God said about Jesus.
Yeah.
We'll see if you're really the Son of God. You got to start by proving that you are who the voice said you are by turning these stones to bread. And then those tests came before him, and Jesus didn't bite, did he? Because he knew who he was. He was established in that identity. And it didn't stop there, because throughout the course of Jesus' ministry, people questioned him. Pilate said, tell me plainly, are you the Christ?
Yeah.
When he was on the cross, still, they said, if he were the Son of God, he would come down from that cross.
Yeah.
Just constantly challenging his identity.
Constantly.
But he knew who he was. And when you and I have that same confidence that our identity is in who God is, it's in Christ himself, my gosh, God can use us.
Dr. Stephen said to me one time, he said, like, you know, that God's called you to be a pastor. I said, that's the furthest thing from my mind. I said, I like evangelizing people. I'm not going to speak to people. And I told him how I had quit university. I went 4 years to be a teacher, and I didn't complete the last course, which was speech. And it took me like years later to make up for that by writing some papers. But I didn't want to speak to people. I had a great fear about speaking, and because I didn't know who I was. You know, if you know your identity, then the ability is something that proceeds right from the identity. But if you don't know who you are, so that's why it's so important in Bible school and in Christian school and in raising children, they need to know who they are. They need to know who they are in Christ, not just in the family, okay? I know who I am in the family, in my culture, whatnot, but who I am in God. And what happens is people don't start to understand that sometimes till they're 20, 30, 35, 40 years old. And now they've had so much of a root in who they are outside of who God is. And that's where the struggle comes. That's where growth needs to take place.
Yes.
In my identity. You know, it was great because in going to Africa many years ago, 1986, you know, people really had a fear of education, a fear of failure in education, and especially when it came to the English language or schools that kind of promoted the English language. They just were afraid to even speak English at all, you know? And their identities were poor and were illiterate. And this is some of the aspect of the identity that many people have in this world. Not only are we poor, we have no education. You know what? Well, you might be jumping ahead a little bit here, because it's okay to be poor, because God can make you rich with spiritual riches. And as far as your identity is concerned, your education, learn the Bible. It's eternal. The rest of it's going to pass away. The rest of it's going to go, you know. And so I'm not against education. I'm just saying that I better have a receptive attitude towards learning Christ. This is so key. Learn of me, Matthew 11:28-30. So, my identity. Other than that, how confused can young people get? You know?
Oh, absolutely.
How confused.
Stephen Wells written to us, he says, you know, gender dysphoria is a legitimate mental disorder.
Mm.
And it is interesting to see how that, you know, mental illness is on the rise. And then as a result of that, gender dysphoria, transgenderism is also on the rise.
Yes, yeah.
Because these are people who are born with the sex that they're born with, and yet they feel uncomfortable with it. They lack confidence about who they are. And to think that they can just feel differently and identify differently is foolishness. And then again, if we were to go up to a person who is dressing like a woman, he's a man, but he's dressing like a woman, and he wants to look like, and if we said, look, you're a man. Now someone would come along and say, you know, you should not judge him. You shouldn't say that to him. You know, you should let him accept him for who he is. Listen, who's right and who's wrong in that situation?
Yeah.
We're confronting that person with the truth. Because if you don't confront them with the truth, how are you really helping that person?
Not at all.
I mean, you can do it with compassion. You can do it with love. You can do it with understanding. But you must, you know, we're told to speak the truth in love.
Yes.
And Ephesians 4:15, and God gives us that opportunity to do so. So we're not undermining the fact that this is not a real mental condition. It is.
Yes.
And we can help those people, can't we?
We can. We can help them by bringing them to the truth.
Yeah.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. When you have the truth, you can live the life and be going in the right direction, the way. So how important that is. We got a number of responses up there.
Yeah, yeah. One of our listeners says we're getting close to the end of time. These are the last days. I sense that we're getting close to the rapture, and you know, there's no question about that. The fact that we're living in the latest hour of human history makes it pretty clear that the rapture is imminent. But again, we're seeing this kind of confusion about, you know, the gender and gender dysphoria taking place in such a way that, again, it's alarming, and it will make some people say, hey, are we reading about what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all of those things that will happen just prior to the return of Christ? The answer is yes. And we'll probably see things get worse before they get better. So we need to buckle up, right?
Yeah.
Put our seatbelts on spiritually, because we're going to be in for quite a
while. You mean it's not getting any better?
Nope.
Everybody thinks, well, that's where man comes in. He thinks he has the ability to make everything get better.
Yeah.
You know, all we got to do is change this, do this, do this, and, you know, educate people and give people more money and whatever. And it's like, it doesn't work. Character change can only come by the grace of God and through the very person of Christ and the Spirit himself.
You know, the evolutionists used to say, just give us enough time, we're evolving. It seems like we're devolving. Because now we can't figure out what we are. We can't figure out who we are. At one time, I mean, when you and I were growing up, it was pretty clear, you know. We were born boys. and we still are. Nothing's changed.
What happened for thousands of years, this never was an issue.
Yeah. And now, why is it an issue now? I think it's devolution rather than evolution.
Because it was devolution because it's devolution. Devil. It's the devil.
It really seems to be moving in that direction. Well, we have our listeners tuning in today, and they're weighing in with us. But this really does confront the issue of one's identity, Pastor Shibeli, and we've talked about that today. And I'm just so grateful that for the believer, whatever believers may be tuning in and listening today, they have that sense of identity.
Right.
Now, we used to hear growing up about a midlife crisis, right?
Midlife.
Guys would reach their late 40s or 50s. And they might be successful, they might have a wonderful family, they might have a home and a great career, but all of a sudden they stop in the middle of it and they say, wait a minute, who am I? You know?
Yeah.
And some people, when they have that midlife crisis, they just walk away from everything that makes life worth living. And they try to finally come to grips with who they are. Don't wait for that to happen. You can discover your identity today in Christ. If you're listening and you're not a believer, you can accept Christ into your heart and you will discover who you are in Him. And that sense of identity will be grounded, and it will be stable, mm-hmm. and it will produce stability in your life. It will produce confidence in your life. You'll be able to walk before God and walk before men in a way that you know who you are, you know why you're here, and you'll know where you're going.
You know what's interesting, Pastor Love, is like I've never heard any topic like this or any discussion or debate about this in Africa. It's not even, I mean, it's like, why are you talking about that? I mean, that's so very clear, you know? Why is it that these things take place in America and in Europe for the most part? Well, it seems like their basis comes from these really cultures and places that are so-called advanced technologically and educationally.
Educated.
It's really interesting what's taking place. And it shows you that how far the education system has gotten away from the Bible. You know, you can't even bring a Bible to school, can you? And they don't read the Bible in classes. When I was growing up, I remember my sixth grade teacher, they read the Bible.
Prayer
and the Bible were in school. No wonder it's such a mess. We got godless schools, you know.
And young children trying to figure out if they're boys or girls.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What a sickness, huh?
Yeah. But there is hope. Thank God.
Yeah.
There is hope. And that's why some of you are tuning in today and listening to the Grace Hour. That's why you've made a decision to trust Christ, and he's given you that wonderful sense of personal identity, which really is just – I remember having those conversations that you mentioned earlier with my mother and father. I think I was probably a junior in high school or a senior in high school, and they would sit me down and they would say, okay – what are you going to do with your life?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I couldn't articulate it at that time, but when they said, what are you going to do with your life? You know what my answer was? I'm going to the party Friday night.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as the future was concerned, that's as far as I could see into the future. On a Wednesday, I could look and see what's going to happen on Friday. But how could I ever determine what I was going to do when I didn't know who I was?
Right.
You've got to establish at least some sense of personal identity before you can ever really step out into this world and say, this is what I want to do.
But unfortunately, the world system controlled by the enemy wants us to really come up with a conclusion about what we're going to do. And then when, you know, it's like interesting. It was a statement that was made, I think it was Dr. Stevens years ago. Christianity is receive and do. But the opposite is you doing to receive. So there's a lot of people that are into the doing aspect of life because they think if they do, they'll get. But really, God is saying receive and do. Acts chapter 1, 7 and 8. Receive the Holy Spirit and you shall be witnesses. It comes first with receiving. Okay, you have to receive life before you can live life. You know, it's such a simple principle, but the enemy has tried to reverse it. You do this and you'll get this. It's the do and get principle, you know. And certainly I understand living by faith and then reaping the results of faith, of course. But with Christianity, I received the Holy Spirit. Now I can live the Christian life, you know. Receive and do. You receive life one day and now you can be, you're a person, you know. It's always receive and then do. But this, we have a society and a world that's basing everything on what you do.
Yeah.
And what you do. And what happens, and that's why so many people have such crises towards the end of their life, because they can't do and they can't do anymore what they've done their whole life. And now, what am I going to do? How about this? What am I going to do with my life now? What am I going to do with my life at 70 years old, 80 years old? What am I going to do with my life? And it's all about they've done something and they can't do it anymore. Like you said, what happens to an athlete when they cannot play? They cannot dunk the ball backwards anymore. You know, they can't even get off their feet or whatever. They can't play basketball anymore. And if their whole life was what they were doing, then this what happens when you can't do it anymore?
Yeah. Don't take the bait. You know, the devil puts the bait out there. The bait is, it's all about your performance. It's all about your position in life. It's all about what you accomplish.
Yeah.
No, it's all about who you are. And the best way to get to know who you are is to first get to know who God is.
Yes.
Because Moses, after God answered him, Moses said, who am I? God said, I am that I am.
It ain't about you, Moses.
It's not about you, Moses. But if you can discover your identity in me, then, well, life is limitless from that perspective. And you'll be able to do what Paul said. I can do all things through Christ, strengthens me.
That's what Gideon's response was when God initiated to him. You know?
Yeah.
You know what? You're looking at yourself instead of looking at God who gives you the identity and the ability.
Yeah. Look away from yourself. Well, we've reached the end of yet another Grace Hour broadcast, friends. Thanks so much, and we appreciate you tuning in, and all of you that have weighed in today, sharing your comments with us. Thank you so much. They're great comments, and we're clearly on the same page. So thanks for joining us. We hope you have a great weekend, and want to remind you that come Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, another week of Grace Hour broadcast coming your way. Have a great weekend. Until next Monday, may God bless you.